Welcome back to another episode of Rice and Beans and Everything in Between. I'm your host, David Cruz. As always, you can reach me at riceandbeansforall@gmail.com. That's rice and beans, all one word, the number 4, ALL@gmail.com, as well as on Twitter at WepaPepa, WEPAPEPA. So today's episode is episode 4, Friends, How Many of Us Have Them? We're going to tackle or try to tackle what it means to be friends. As that 80s group Houdini once sang, Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, let's be friends. According to Oxford Languages, the definition of friends is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. Or as my wife says, someone who holds your hair back when you had too much to drink, or someone who bails you out without asking any questions. I want to talk about this because I just met up with a friend of mine, my friend John. John and I have been friends since 1986. 30 some odd years ago. We met 36 years ago. We met at a summer camp. I worked there first, and then he joined us, joined the staff about 2 weeks just before the last session of the summer. He was a fill-in, actually. And so he came in from the Bronx as well, boogie down Bronx, just like me, as many of you know. Even though, you know, we don't see each other as often as we would like or we used to, you know, that's due to family, friends, other commitments, work, obligations. It's as if we just saw each other yesterday. Is that a true friend? I think so. We could just pick up and it's very smooth. Pick up right where we left off. Even if it's a year, 6 months, 2 years, a year and a half. There's no bull. There's no showmanship. You know, I mean, I would give a kidney to my friend John. He's a really good friend. And I think that is a true sign of a friend, that you could just pick up where you left off, you know, and just feel relaxed. There is no, you know, airs about each other. We're just doing what we need to do. We know each other's kids. He has older kids. My kids are late teens, early 20s. So, you know, I can always ask him for advice if I had to, or at least pick his brain of what he went through with his own, you know, kids. I don't think about what should be said. I don't think about what I need to do. He's just like a brother to me. And that's great. And I think that's great. And, you know, there aren't too many people like that. As of right now, I have my friend John, obviously, who they just mentioned. But I also have probably about 2 or 3 other friends that I've known since second grade. And, you know, it's catching up with them. And it's very easy, very, very easy. That's a long time, in my book, since second grade. And again, and some of these friends, you know, other things come into play, other obligations, and we don't see each other that often. As a matter of fact, I just saw a friend of mine, Walter, that I hadn't seen easily 5, probably about 6 years or so, maybe a little over that. That's it. Prior to that was easily over 10 years. I just saw him. And, you know, very simple. It was great. It was nice seeing him. Him and his wife, but I've known him since second grade. A few other friends of mine as well. My friend Danny, again, a few years that I haven't seen him. And saw him for Mother's Day. Saw him soon after that for the 4th of July weekend. He's here in New York City, extremely busy. He's a businessman. So it's very difficult for him to get away. And I get it. I understand it. But when we do, whether it's texting, whether it's sending an email or quick, hey, what's up? That's it. It was truly nice seeing him, you know, as well. A friend of mine, Nelson, same thing. Hadn't seen him in years. I saw him last year. trying to get together with him again this year. But these are, in my book, true friends. You know, there's no, you know, no one is, you know, bothering each other like, hey, I'm seeing you. Maybe here and there a little bit, but not to the point that we're angry about it and, oh, I can't believe I haven't seen you this long or where have you been? That's not where we're at. And in my book, that's a true friend. I did a little research. According to the Survey Center on American Life, they did a study titled The State of American Friendship, Change, Challenges, and Loss. Findings from, and this is from a May 2021 American Perspective survey. And according to them, they say, coming out of a once-in-a-generation global pandemic, and of course, the pandemic has affected many relationships, for the better, for the worse. There are some friends that we've had for years that we lost contact with. We don't keep in touch. Even with the years going by, they just kind of disappeared. But they also say that the pandemic also opened up other doors and people were able to meet others online as well, making new friends. But according to the survey, it says Americans appear more attuned than ever to the importance of friendship. However, despite renewed interest in the topic of friendship in pop culture and the news media, science suggests that the role of friends in American social life is experiencing a pronounced decline. And according to this May 2021 American Perspective Survey, they found that they're finding or Americans are having or have fewer close friends than they once did, and talking to their friends less often and relying less on their friends for personal support. Again, that goes contrary to what I just said about my own friends, but you know, we don't keep in contact as often. They're not disappearing. As far as in my book, they're not. You know, they're still friends. Don't see them as often, but they're still there. But according to the survey, Americans are losing some of their friends. And the pandemic, you know, the obvious culprit in the national friendship decline, or it is, or it's affecting it. But according to the survey, it says, but broader structural forces may be playing a more important role. First, Americans are marrying later than ever and are more geographically mobile than in the past. Two trends that are strongly associated with increasing rates of self-reported social isolation and feelings of loneliness. Second, American parents are spending twice as much time with their children compared to previous generations, crowding out other types of relationships, including friendships. And finally, Americans are working longer hours and traveling more for work, which may come at the cost of maintaining and developing friendships. And they're saying that it's reflecting in the central place in the hierarchy of American social life. Americans are now more likely to make friends at work than any other way, including at school or in their neighborhood, their place of worship, which, by the way, church is a good way to make friends. Again, oh, I should say not again, but that is a different type of friend. So, and we might get into that later on. But your church friends are different than your high school friends. I'll just leave it at that. They could be both, don't get me wrong, but that is a different group of friendships. And, you know, we have our existing friends. Now, personal pandemic challenges. It's reporting that they obviously face significant personal challenges during COVID. And more than one in five Americans say the past during the pandemic, it was much more difficult for them than usual, I guess, to maintain or keep friends. But what's interesting is, and if we associate personal, you know, pandemic challenges, if we look at it, the report also goes on and says that women are reporting having had a more challenging time than men did. More than one in four women say the past or during the pandemic have been much more difficult than usual compared to 70% of men. That's interesting. Why is that? you know, obviously let me know. You can always reach out to me. But that is interesting that women are having a harder time or much more challenging time than men are trying to maintain friends or make friends. Young women appear to have been more affected than most were. Nearly 6 in 10, 60%, they report having lost touch with at least a few friends, and about 16% say they no longer are in regular contact with most of their friends. And that's interesting. That's a younger crowd. That's a newer generation, let's say. Is it something in that? This generation maybe doesn't hold on to it as much compared to, let's say, my generation. I'm in my 50s. That is very interesting. But the report also goes on and says, pandemic friendships, but even with prolonged periods of social isolation and quarantine, much of American life over the pandemic or the 2 years, 2.5 years of the pandemic, almost half of Americans had a new friend within 12 months. One-third of the public say they have made a new friend in within 1 to 4 years or so. And about 20-some-odd percent Americans say it's been at least 5 years since they made a new friend. That's true. I don't know if I'm making any new friends. Right now, my friends consist of my childhood friends. I have work friends as well. That's a totally different group altogether. I don't know if I would combine the two. And I think they would get along, but I think my interaction with them, it's different. It's totally different. The way I interact with my friends at work, my friends outside of work, whether it's childhood friends or friends that I've made somewhere else, whether it's a gym, whether it's just going out, whatever it is, those are different. Not to say that they can't get along, but it is a different interaction with them. So that is very interesting. Now, America's also found out that they've made, or had close friends, that they've met a close friend at their spouse's workplace. Now, with the pandemic, everyone's pretty much been home, so I really haven't made any friends with my wife's co-workers or my spouse's co-worker. Prior to the pandemic, when she was at one other company, maybe one or two, but not a lot. And I think that has to do with probably going back to keeping your work friends separate from your family or childhood friends or close friends, but not too much. But they're finding that Americans are making friends through their spouses' work. And even within their own network of friends, making like a friend of a friend of a friend, about 1 in 3 Americans have made a close friend in their neighborhood, and about 1 in 5 close friend at their place of worship. And that's, I had mentioned before, that in church, they might be different. That might be a whole different, you know, crowd. And I remember, I should go back to church, you know, and start going to church a lot more, or just start up again. Long story short, my geographic location is not as close to where my wife and I used to worship down the Bronx. There was a place of worship up here. Doesn't work out. Long story short, I'll save you the details, but it's pretty much don't like to be scolded every Sunday. And that's what it felt like. But even when we were, I can't say I really have friends in my church. Not at all. And I'm trying to think, was it because I just didn't spend as much time? Maybe I didn't live in the neighborhood of my church, so therefore it's not as accessible to do a lot of functions and meet up with other worshipers that live near the church. I know obviously there are people who don't live super close to the church, like myself, but it is, maybe I need to be a little more dedicated, or I should have been, but I think that was definitely something that I factored in, not being close to the neighborhood. And I know a lot of other people that were going to the church or attending the church that we did, they live probably within 5 to 15 minutes of the church. So even if they came after work, closer to home or home, had dinner and then come back, for me it was about a 45-minute drive. So it takes a little while. But in any case, that's a whole different topic. Church friends, maybe I'll do that another day. But most Americans say that the first person that they talk to when they have a personal problem is their spouse or their partner. 16% of the public say they go to a friend first when they're trying to confront a personal issue. And 10% say they rely on their parents. I don't know if I can rely on my parents. I'm sure if I had to pick my parents' brains, great. But I don't know if I want to get that detailed with them. I don't know. That's a tricky one for me. But sometimes even turning to a sibling, I don't. But if I had to guess, my son and daughter, they're actually close. They're about 3 years apart. And I believe they lean on each other for support, which is great. And I do want that. And that's going to be more valuable than any of their friends. Of course, they have their own friends and they can confide in their friends differently than their brother or sister. But I do enjoy the fact that they can lean on each other. And I think they do, and especially when there's a personal issue, especially since one is older than the other, might have gone through, you know, one thing or something and can share that experience with the youngest siblings. But the report also says that fewer Americans appear to be relying on friends for personal support than they have in the past. A survey conducted by the Gallup in 1990, now it's a little dated, found that more than one quarter of Americans said their friend was the first person they would turn to when they had a personal problem. Young adults and singles, they're unique to the extent that they rely on friends for emotional and personal support. And about 25% of young people aged 18 to 29 say they typically talk to a friend when they first, or they speak to them first when they have a personal problem. Young women are slightly more likely than young men are to rely on friends for support, which doesn't surprise me. I can see that probably not opening up too much, but, or at least this was in 1990. Today, I think if I'm referring to my kids' generation, their age group, which is 17 to 22, that's the age range that they're in. They do it. They rely on each other, and I think that's true. The average age of first marriages are rising steadily. Fewer Americans are turning to friends for support. Parents have stepped in. This is interesting. Parents have stepped in to fill the gap. Young men are now more likely to rely on their parents for personal support than other people in their life. And about a third, about 36% young men say their parents are the first people they reach out to when facing a personal problem. 1 in 4 young women say their parents are their first call. Now, of course, I would want my son to reach out to me or to my wife. That'd be great. And I hope they do. And he does. Probably more so my wife, but definitely. And that's good. I want them to be able to speak to us and in their friends as well. Obviously, it's a different perspective when they're speaking to their own friends versus a parent's perspective. But interesting that, yeah, marriages are, you know, the age of marriages, it's rising. I got married young, but my wife and I always said we were young adults at that point in our lives. And, but compared to today, it would be super young, super, super young today. And even if I had to guess an age, 28, I think, would probably be a good age to get married or start to think about getting married if you decide to get married. And if you do, I think 28, you kind of have your act together, let's say. I would hope you're already establishing a job. You know who you are as a person and what you expect from another person. Whether that person turns out to be your spouse, your partner for life, whatever. that I would think that you know what you're looking for. Sometimes it doesn't happen, I get it. But I think that's a good age. But it is, and the comedian Carl Reiner, just passed away not too long ago. Loved Carl Reiner, that whole, you know, generation or comedic writing in television and movies. Mel Brooks, love Mel Brooks. I know he's still around with us. But Carl Reiner, I saw an interview with him one time. And he had happened to be married for many years. And the interviewer had asked him, what is the secret? And he said, there is no secret. He just said, look, I was in the army. I loved a woman, a different woman every night or every week. It was a different woman. But my wife, I liked my wife. He goes, obviously, he goes, I love my family. I love my wife, but I like my wife. And he said, that I think is very important. I like the person. I'm sure, I'm going to guess that was his wife was his best friend. Trusted her without a doubt. Leaned on her for everything. Same thing with my wife. Same thing. I trust her a lot. Above anyone else, my kids would be second as well. But I think that's very important. Like a person. Obviously, we have friends. And we call them friends because we do like them. But some of them are truly, truly the salt of the earth, I guess, as they say. And I can, or you can rely on them. The other friends, they're just friends. And, you know, they're good friends. But some are a little more closer than others. And it's like a well-oiled clock. Very smooth. The parts when put together, when you and your friends get together, there are no problems. You know, there's no bull being thrown around, and you can just let down your hair. You can relax. You don't have to worry about trying to figure out what they're going to say. It's almost like you understand what they are going to say or what they're going to think. That's a good sign of a friend. What else? I mean, you know, what type of friends? You know, let's talk about that. Obviously, they come in many shapes and sizes. Some are, you know, we don't see them frequently or it's infrequent. And maybe in certain places that we see our friends. Other friends, they might be close confidants. Again, since childhood, I have a few as I've already, you know, mentioned. But most Americans report that they have different types of friends. Situational friends, place-based friends, people that they mostly see in certain places, such as work, school, gym, or even the park. Nearly 7 in 10, 70%, said, according to this report, having a friend they see only in certain places or at certain times, was great for them. Activity friendships are also quite common. 50% say, or of the public say, that they have activity friends, people with whom they participate in social activities such as sports, hobbies, or community service, which I guess would be situational friends. You don't see them all the time. And 40%, they have online only friendships or friends that they interact solely via the internet. Now that's fairly new. Growing up, in my childhood, we did not have this. But this is fairly new. So we're seeing that there are internet friends. I don't have any internet friends. My wife won't allow me. I'm only kidding. But it's just, I don't. It's not like I'm big on, whether it's, you know, speaking to someone online, a lot of chat rooms. Not really. But we're seeing that. That's an increase. That's probably, obviously, for a generation much younger than me. But we're seeing that. And even, you know, 2/3 of Americans still have a childhood friend. That would be me. They're ubiquitous among the public. 2/3 of Americans say they have a friend that they've known since childhood. Me. But yet, despite the prevalence of these types of friendships, they have become less frequent. And that's probably because of, you know, again, it's probably the time. Trying to figure out who has the time for it. Can you meet up? When do you meet up? another part of the survey that they found or they studied was that childhood friendships are particularly prevalent among Black Americans. Nearly 8 in 10, 80% of African Americans, Black Americans report having a friend whom they have known since childhood. These types of friendships are significantly less common among white, which is 66%, and Hispanic Americans or Hispanics, 64%. Not that much of a difference, but that is, you can see the difference there, the disparity, let's say. And that's great. I mean, I can see that. That's great. Having a friend of a different gender is fairly common in American society, but the incidence varies. So that's the other thing, too. Those of us who have friends who are of the opposite sex, who are different gender, let's say, are they close friends? Men are more likely than women, and they're reporting that they're having a close friend of a different gender than women, I guess. Among those with close friends, having an opposite gender friend is much less common among married people. Yeah, I can see that. Particularly among married women. Married women are far less likely than other women are to report having a male friend. Only 43% of married women and 54% of married men say they have a close friend who is different gender. But in contrast, two-thirds of unmarried or single women say they have a close male friend. I can see that. I mean, it's, you know, again, I have friends at work. They're opposite gender. Yeah, they're friends. I don't divulge everything with them. I look at it this way. If I'm going to do that, especially if it's very personal, I should, you know, divulge or speak to my wife about it first, I would think. Unless about her. But it's not, obviously, it's not. Then that would be a different discussion. But, yeah, even at work or opposite gender friends, they're seeing that is, you know, that's part of the, I guess, the dynamic as well. But what about emotional support? There are differences in the degree in which men and women rely on friends for emotional support. And, when, you know, when they share their personal feelings. Half of women, according to the report, half of the women and less than one-third of men say they have had a private conversation with a friend during which they shared their personal feelings in the past week. All right. It's possible, I guess. Now we come down to, again, this is what I started out with. Best friends. Obviously, my friend John, Nelson, Danny, Walter, those are my close friends. I don't see them as often as I would like, but they are, I would say, really good friends or best friends of mine that I can rely on. They said most Americans, they do have a best friend. 60% probably say that they have one person they consider their best friend, at least one person. 40% say they do not, and notably, the types of friendships that are common and prevalence is hardly varies at all among the public. Across the lines of race and ethnicity, age, religion, and politics, best friends are a common feature of American social life. So is it cultural? Is it American culture? I would think that outside of the United States, it's pretty much the same thing. Different language, if I had to guess. But fewer Americans have a best friend today than they did years ago. Again, in 1990, three-quarters of Americans reported having a best friend, and they're saying that that has declined over the past three decades. Wow, the last 3 years that it has gone down. You see it. I mean, it is hard. We all know that. We know it's hard to have, keep friends or at least keep up with friends. Sometimes politics comes into play. That's a definite. We've seen that. Whether it's, you know, divorce. I have a friend that, you know, he has been divorced, you know, in the past a few times. He kind of dropped off the face of the earth. I haven't seen him in a while, heard from him. My other friends haven't heard from him as well. You know, I'm always wondering, is it Does he just feel embarrassed? I would hope not. I mean, because obviously we wouldn't come after him for it or you know, put him down for it. Look, it's not as you know, marriage is not for everyone. I get it. If that's the case, if that's why he disappeared, I would hope not that he would lean on at least one of us. But he has disappeared, unfortunately, and he's a good friend, very good friend. But we just can't, we've lost contact. And that's tough. And that's tough when you have someone that you know, it's almost like a mystery. Like, what happened? Did you do something? Did I do something? Does he think he did something, you know, because of it? I would hope not. At least I would hope that he would reach out. But it is a difficult thing. And until they actually tell you what went wrong, or, I mean, I shouldn't say it went wrong, if it's wrong, but what happened? So be it. I mean, a lot of the things, I guess it would just be in limbo. But, yeah, I mean, it's friendship. And this was something that, you know, maybe as I get older, I'm figuring it out or trying to figure out, like, why is it that I'm still friends 36 years later with my friend John? You know, 48 years later, 46 years later with my other friends in second grade, let's say. That's insane. You know, what is it? Is it a secret now? Is it just cutting out the bull? Maybe. And you make friends along the way, and I know I have, that are very similar to my childhood friends. Some coworkers I have, very, very few, that are very simple. It's a smooth transition. Even when I see them in the hallways or at work, wherever, some of my coworkers I don't see all the time. But when I do, hey, let's go to dinner. Great. And it's as if we just saw each other, you know, the day before or a few hours prior, and we were speaking for years, or for hours, sorry. But what is it? What makes a friend? What is a true definition of a friend? What in your case, what's your definition of a friend? I'd like to hear. Let me know. riceandbeansforall@gmail.com. That's riceandbeansforall. Riceandbeans, one word. The number 4, ALL. @gmail.com or at Wepapepa, WEPAPEPA on Twitter. But let me know. I mean, I'd be curious. You know, am I off? Am I just spewing nonsense? I hope not. But what is it to, in your case, in your definition, what is it? Do you have friends? How long have you been friends with your friends? Do you have a best friend? Is your spouse your only best friend? Or, you know what? Or do you not have any friends? That's also interesting, too, trying to figure out why don't you? Or what do you think? Why do you think you don't have any friends? Or any friends that you can rely on? Or any friends that you can just pick up from where you started, even though it's been a few years, let's say, or months, whatever it is. You know, if like I said, I see my friend John once a year. I'd like to do it a lot more. There are other things that come into play. Just timing. That's all it is. We have different schedules. But when we do, we set out a date. We set out a time, a day, and try to make that. And we're pretty good about it. But even at work, what makes a good work friend? What makes a good, you know, sometimes you hear, oh, it's a work wife or a work husband. And I know people who don't like that term. They say, no, I only have one. Yeah, I get it. But if you use it loosely, I guess, is it someone that you can just, hey, count on while you're at work? That they know, in other words, they have your back? Could be. But let me know. What is it? And, you know, it's friendship is very important. Whether it's sibling friendship, whether it's your spouse, childhood friendships, work friendships, if it's a friendship you have at a place of worship in your church or your gathering, any of the gyms, any of your hobbies. But what is it? What makes that person your friend, let's say? Rice and beans, webapepa.forall@gmail.com or Twitter or and Twitter, webapepa. I'm your host, David Cruz. And let me hear from you. Email me. You can tweet it. That's great. Until the next time, stay focused. Don't let anyone dim your light. And as always, don't be a flat leaver. Until the next episode, take care.